Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
We're going to talk today about omega-3 fatty acids. I'm going to tell you a quick story to begin with, but I'm going to start off. It's a very quick story, but I'm struggling because the story starts with in Greenland, and it starts with a group of what maybe I should call native Greenlanders, although the paper that I was reading referred to them as Greenland Eskimos. And I think that we don't call people Eskimos anymore, but I don't know what we should call them.
We're not in Greenland. I don't know.
I don't either. So I'm going to call them, quote, unquote, Eskimos, but I am not intending any disrespect to them. So not long ago, several decades ago, it was observed that Greenland Eskimos have a low rate of coronary artery disease. In fact, one of the lowest rates in the world. And when researchers looked at what they did and didn't do, it turned out they ate lots of fish. This, of course, listeners will know, this is an association. It's not a cause and effect. Lots of attention went into looking at animal studies and observational studies and clinical trials, and they've examined the health effects of seafood consumption and identified long-chain N3 polyunsaturated fatty acids in fish oil and certain naturally occurring acids as the active constituents that might provide this benefit. They specifically identified omega-3 fatty acids. Now, there have been all kinds of things that have been touted as benefits from omega-3 fatty acids. For example, some people feel that they lower triglycerides. There have been some studies that actually confirm that this is true, but they haven't been able to show any clinical benefits of lowering elevated plasma triglyceride levels either by omega-3 fatty acids or other pharmacologic agents. They've also shown that among adults who are 45 years and older, that these omega-3 fatty acids lowered systolic blood pressure and diastolic blood pressure, but by only a wee bit, and is probably not clinically significant. Also, it's been thought that maybe they reduce chronic progression of atherosclerosis, but I think more study is probably needed before we really jump on that full force. So the next organ to be looked at is the eye. And the question is, what about people with macular degeneration? You found an article for this week's poem. It comes from JAMA Internal Medicine, a.k.a. the Archives of Internal Medicine. It asks a question, in older patients with macular degeneration, does the consumption of omega-3 fatty acids decrease the likelihood of experiencing a cardiovascular outcome? I forgot to mention that this is 2014, volume 174. The article begins on page 763. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this was a study that was originally designed to look at two different interventions for preventing macular or slowing the progression of macular degeneration. And one of the groups got these omega-3 fatty acids. Another group got some supplements, lutein and zeaxanthin, which are specific to macular degeneration. And then the third got both, and the fourth group got neither. So we call this a Latin square design, where you have the ability to look at two different interventions with a smaller group of overall patients. So anyway, this was an analysis looking, okay, not at the ocular ophthalmologic outcomes, but at the cardiovascular outcomes. There's a lot of interest in omega-3 fatty acids. And so they enrolled patients who were 50 to 85 years old, so same kind of folks who are at risk for heart disease and who might have a reason to want to take these omega-3 oils. And they all had intermediate or advanced age-related macular degeneration. As far as we know, there's no big confounding of cardiovascular risk by macular degeneration. So that's just happened to be how they assembled this population, but I don't think it had any impact on the findings of this study. Most of the patients were white, about half were current or former smokers, about a seventh had diabetes, and about a fifth had some history of heart or disease or stroke, but none of them had had any episodes of stroke or MI in the previous 12 months. So moderate to, you know, probably I would call this kind of a moderate, maybe a little higher than average risk group of 50 to 85-year-olds. They did a 30-day trial of placebo to weed out those people who wouldn't take the placebo and folks who had second thoughts about participating. That's, you know, what we don't like to see is when they have a run-in period like this with the active drug, and then they get rid of people who don't tolerate the active drug, because that really creates a bias in favor of the active drug, makes it look better than it actually is, because you're getting rid of the intolerant non-responders. In this case, they just wanted to get folks who were going to continue to take the medications over the next couple of years. Again, introduces somewhat of a bias, but not as bad. In the end, they had 4,200 patients who were randomized to one of those four groups, either omega-3 fatty acids alone, lutein and zeaxanthin alone, both, or only placebos. And they followed them for almost 5 years. So long enough, that's one of the questions you want to ask. Do they follow them long enough to see the outcomes you might care about? And 5 years is generally long enough. The fatty acids specifically that they used, and I'm going to slaughter these, are docusahexaenoic acid, 350 milligrams, and eicopentaenoic acid, 650 milligrams.
I'm impressed. That was great. I got
a face for radio and a voice. So,
exactly.
Using intention to treat analysis, they found that the combined cardiovascular event outcome, you know, sort of the all bad things outcome, was similar to those in those patients getting the fatty acids with those who got a placebo. By the way, they didn't find anything with the lutein zeaxanthin either, which isn't surprising, not really a cardiovascular drug. The study was powered to find a 25% reduction in those events if it really existed. And so the bottom line is, you know, this study adds to an increasing body of evidence that omega-3 fatty acids have limited, if any, benefits in terms of cardiovascular prevention, which is, you know, unfortunate. You know, there are, as you said in your story, certainly a lot of associations and observational studies that have supported the idea that omega-3 fatty acids might be helpful. But when we look at clinical trial data and looking at mortality and hard cardiovascular endpoints, it's much harder to find any real benefit.
Well, so the lobby for the fish are going to be happy, and maybe the
not the fishermen though, but the fish.
The fish, right? And perhaps it has to do with shivering or something in Greenland. But it's interesting. I mean, you know, I think that both you and I have been following this for well over a decade. You know, now and then there's another article about omega-3 fatty acids. And, you know, I think it's just one of those things that people keep hoping that we just haven't quite figured out. There must be a benefit because we keep looking for it.
This one certainly doesn't help those folks out.
Thanks, Mark. We'll see you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.